and that remembered it clearly. And I said, do you remember we had this discussion? Now, over the past few days, their mind, and it's like totally freaking me out, is now turning traitor. And they're saying to me, well, I don't know, maybe he was just sick. And I'm like, I can't believe this. You freaking knew this with me. And now you're falling into this, like, what's being presented to us. How is this happening, that these things are happening over and over again? Like, what the heck is going on?
Well, when we were doing ION in the early years, ION would always say, okay, they're going to release Gerald Ford soon. So, yeah, a few weeks later, Gerald Ford would be announced dead. It would be a massive week of mourning. And ION said that it was always released to cover up a lot of other shit. Well, they ran some dry runs before, and then that didn't work. So then the big cover-up of something, probably my... Well, Neufeld says it's due to my Bob Fest. They had to cancel out my Bob Fest by trying to get the greatest other guy who ever lived in the 20th century to have his funeral to hog the media coverage. That's what Neufeld says. So the timing is fits right in.
Yeah, and there is something symbolic about Mandela that one of the tiny bits of TV something coverage I heard had someone mentioning. They were like, wow, just to, you know, you're in prison for so long, and then by the time when you get out of prison, the people who put you in there are afraid of you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that power switch is like, there's something kind of appropriate to that on like a sort of a, like the kind of things I wanted to talk about tonight with all that slack or whatever.
Right, right.
Almost.
Yeah, that's the thing, Wendy, is that this synchrony and anomalies that ION points out or that people experience is microcosmed in the Church of Subject Genius and Me. That's what it's really an art form of the Andromedan, because it includes the synchrony of it. I mean, here we are having, Carolyn has her clinic on St. Clair Avenue, and this is right when Stang likes me in 1990, and when his name is Doug St. Clair Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got both have St. Clair. And then St. Clair is a big name in Halifax, Nova Scotia mythology, because that's where Oak Island stuff was buried, the treasure. And it was the St. Clair family that came over from Henry V or whatever, Portugal, and that whole history. There's St. Clair is in there. And then they're also a major name in the Prior of Zion, St. Clair.
Yeah.
So you have a mini...
And St. Clair, I think, is the patron saint of television.
Really?
Well, that's
a good one.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure.
Well, the thing is...
She was Francis's, like, kind of platonic wife.
Who's
Francis? Like, it was Saint Francis. Saint Francis and St. Clair was, like, his girlfriend.
Oh, Francis of Assisi.
Yeah.
All right. So
St. Clair was his lady.
All right.
C-L-A-R-E, they call her.
Not I-R.
Yeah, as far as, well, I don't know, I mean, maybe it's different spellings,
right.
The same woman, different places, but...
Well, yeah. Looking at Claire of Assisi, she is! He was designated patron saint of television in 1958 by Pope Pius XII, you're right.
Well, bam, and yeah, now here's, and then that's the funniest thing, because Francis, Pope Francis, it's so funny that, that F-R-A is like its own, abbreviation, like Mr. for Frater.
Right.
And that the, like, nonsense letters that come after that, it's not nonsense, it's like the most popular TV show, NCIS. So he's Frater NCIS.
Right, right.
Really
right.
Big TV show about the NCIS. So there's kind of the TV thing in
there's
there.
There's the acronym, the alphabetic symbolism. Now, it says she's from a fresco, 1312 to 20. 1312 to 1320. There's so much 22s and 122s in those dates right here in the encyclopedia. You've got that covered, the 122. You break the 1312 to 1320, nothing but 122.
Plus 13 looks like a B, so that's a 2.
Yes, that's right.
To a 2.
Yeah, you make 13 a B, and then the two 2s are a B, so it's actually Bob.
Yeah. Boom!
Always about Bob.
Yeah, I don't know. It's uncanny. It certainly
you should hear the song that someone wrote for Bob. Everybody wants to be like Bob. It's hilarious.
For sure.
I wonder if we saved that. Did we put that in our list, Bill? We did. We could play it. But I actually, we should play you this one. I don't think you've heard this line. This is Matthew Hurtado, the guy who distributes RNA Drop. Here's a song.
Right.
Have you heard any of his work?
I don't think so.
Okay, listen to this one. This is one of his most recent ones. Linus, the lyrics were Lockdown Bob Rule, Secret Agent Bob Neverett, Rapid Production of Bullshit.
Oh, nice. That's so, I was laughing, man, like just hearing like that phrase sung by like those kind of ladies. That's awesome. That's awesome. I love that.
It's a good one.
That's great.
Yeah.
I think it would make the Subgenii laugh too, or it would be a good test, like, come on, try not to like this. Like, it was great. Yeah, this is funny, like.
That's right.
Lockdown Bob Rule. Yeah, no, it's real. I've seen Lockdown Bob Rule.
Yeah.
This is the thing. That whole thing with Colbert, it was like a vision of the Android meme having been in its fact of being all like, oh yeah, that's why I brought up the like tied up S&M metaphor was that it's like the meme is all tied up by you.
And
at its most extreme, its best mode is when it's talking about you or something.
Right. Did I just hear James Pusty?
Yes, you did. Hey, guys.
Oh, hello.
Now, this is James Linus from Perth, Australia. Now, he's a great Zappa scholar. Now, listen to this. He wrote to me earlier in the inquest. He said, Zappa, in his autobiography, said this, quote, there is an organization in Texas called the Church of the Subgenius, devoted to the teachings of some guy with a pipe in his mouth named Bob. I'm not a member, but part of their theology parallels mine. Theology in quotes. And then you say, James, you have another quote from Zappa relating to Slack. Zappa says, as the planet gets more crowded, we must realize that Slack is precious. Does he say that?
Really?
Is this, James, is that what Frank says?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We must realize that Slack is precious, smucks are plentiful, impingements are impractical, and werewolf etiquette for self-defense is a personal necessity.
Nice.
Werewolf etiquette for self-defense and personal necessity. Techniques must be developed to enable each of us to escape the other guy's bullshit, just as he wishes to escape ours. Heaven would be a place where bullshit existed on TV. See, that's the, now that's in Finnegan's Wake, the intertwining of everybody inside each other's digestive system. That's what happened with the intimacy of the discarnate state. We're all inside each other's shit.
And Burroughs, too, continuing that business.
Yes, Burroughs, Zappa read Talking Asshole, which is shit. You know, that's the section he did at the Nova Convention in 78, which was run by that beatnik poet John Giorno, who was a good friend of Jim George, who's the guy that introduced Mir to Canada. I mean, to Carolyn, And that got us to hear the Bobathon. You'll hear that the patent for our cold fusion battery was stuck to the Mir patent. Now that's really otherworldly. And
that's right. That's Emerald Tablets planting.
Yeah, that's Emerald Tablets. Now, James, did you hear me play the Ion stuff from yesterday?
I just caught a bit of it. Was that where the 100th monkey effect?
Yeah. Could you make out what he was saying? I could. I can't even replay.
I could.
Okay, good. It's very bad on the phone.
Computer. Right. Yeah, no, it's muffly on the sign. It's
so whereabouts in Zappa's book does he say this? Slack is... in the end? Must be near the end. It's like a summary statement,
He talks. He's talking about schmucks, and I can't find it now, but...
Look, he says the werewolf etiquette for self-defense, that's like Ionic techniques. Werewolf etiquette for self-defense is a personal necessity. Techniques must be developed to enable each of us to escape the other guy's bullshit.
Yeah, that's very Crokerian going on. Ion.
That's between McLuhan and Croker going towards Dobbs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is very right. He's right at the right point. McLuhan's dead, so then Frank has to say it, and he says it a little differently, and then that leads to Croker.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zappa dies.
What?
Yeah, exactly. This is where my story comes in, because it's interesting that Linus was talking about Colbert and Bill O'Reilly, because just before hooking up with Dobbstown, that was basically the only two outlets of entertainment that I'd engage in. And so
in Australia, they regularly broadcast it in Australia.
We had cable TV, so that was basically after Krishnamurti sort of died, I guess. You know, everything was obsolete, and there was no one who could let's say, the only person before that was Zappa. There was no one like Zappa around who could right. you know, tune the planet like Orpheus, like you do, Bob.
Yeah.
So it just seems a fallback position to watch Colbert and O'Reilly and, you know, they're tuning somewhat the planet, but it's not the full picture. And then Bob comes along and it's like, aha, here we go.
So,
yes, you're the ultimate, you're the Orpheus. You are the only one who can tune the planet the way it should be. You know,
well, with Ion,
Yeah, with the help of Ion. With the
Which is our extension, you know, my extension, or Carolyn. We have an extension.
Yes.
We have a talking asshole, Linus. This is what we got here, a talking asshole.
Yes. Yes. A talking asshole. That's perfect, then, that Ion on the Bobathon was acting like a bit of an asshole in, like, the last time he showed up.
Yeah.
Kind of like, Ion, like, come on, answer the question.
Like,
right. What is a penis?
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
funny, Bob.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
good.
Now, there's all kinds of very active on the chat room, and there's at one point, I don't know, so much to read. Maybe I'll read some of it.
I can't see the chat. I don't have the internet connection here.
Right. No, you need the, you have to, no, anybody can see it, right? This is not behind the scenes.
You
oh,
need
wait
the
a minute. Oh yeah, you can see it. On
I
the
just
front.
Don't have the. I'm just on the phone, not the computer.
Right.
So
yeah, if you're, you can see it on the front of the site. So I see it through the back room, but it's also available. But at one point they go, "What do you make of this Linus guy?" Okay, so they go, "Who is the little man?" Says Robert of Tottenham. That's the English voice you might have heard. Then Queen Ben says, "Play a tape, Bob." And I don't know if you're talking yet. And then Robert says, higher resonating solid communications and in a room of inept people of light in body. So what is love? Where is it in the force field you speak of? And why swerve the two obvious? Is love then the fast track? In another word, I am novice, inept, and curious. Light on everyone, including me. So that's Robert hallucinating. Then he says, how did the Bach remedies lead up to researching water, ABC, then the D cell, adding the 95% plus the 5% purification of flowered water? So Allison... Hey, love's got to go. And then Humpty says, I don't even have a phone. I must be ascended then. That was easy. Then Ginny says, Linus Maximus. What are you, Minimax?
Minimax.
Yeah, Minimax.
Minimax.
She goes,
it's
Linus.
A game theory term.
Right. She goes, Linus Maximus. Yay! So you come on. Ginny
nice.
Likes that. I don't know what she knows about you. Maybe she saw you on the chat during the Bobathon. And then Crypto comes in, and he's always the naysayer guy on the sidelines.
Oh, I thought Crypto was Hex, because when Crypto, it's spelled with a Q?
Yeah.
I thought that might be Kigye, because during the Bobathon, Crypto started referring to me as this, like, as Hex would, or
yeah.
as Keith would. He was saying, that was when he called me that Linus is an advanced yet defective program.
Yeah.
Advanced but defective program.
I read that.
And so, and now it's like, seems like, what, defective, what did I fail at? I just didn't defect from
yeah,
you?
Yeah, right.
Apparently.
Now, his Crypto comes on. As soon as you're talking, he goes, for the record, Linus Maximus, he addresses you, I am not Kigye.
Oh, okay, cool.
No, it wasn't Kigye. He's a guy down in Portland. Oregon.
Okay, he seemed to know me or whatever.
Right. So
okay, that's cool.
He refers to what you just said. His next post is, referring to you as a defective program was merely my antivirus subroutine responding through subtle paranoia induction. Good to know that it's working.
Nice, I love it. Cool.
Then Tottenham says, were you guys on associated content reading Barefoot and writing J.R. Bob Dobbs, now Yahoo Voices? I mean, is Colbert Barefoot? So we never know what Robert's talking about. That might be some new sites or new software or something that he's talking about. You know what he means, James? Okay, so Humpty says, what did Ion mean by, quote, the carbon is coming from Australia, but they don't know it yet? That was said a couple weeks ago. I don't remember. Crypto says, this is a clear example. Okay, so now Crypto, he's been listening to you, Linus, so he goes, this is a clear example of your defective programming. He's not responding well, it looks like. And then Humpty says, he was speaking to Carolyn at the time about the carbon. What about Marco Roden? I remember that name. Our DNA from before time. Humpty says, the ascended creators will be sending in the smoters. Then Humpty says, Snugglehouse, LOL, anything like Snuggle Pot and Cuddle Pie? And then there's more Humpty, but we're looking at Crisco. He said, Crypto says, then don't type it in the chat. I'm the only other here. Oh, so he says, what are you babbling about, Humpty? Because Humpty's going on. And then he asks him not to type it in the chat. I'm the only one here. And then Humpty says, was responding to a program at the time. And then Crypto says, that is an inappropriate use of the medium of the chat room. So Crypto's becoming a media callist. Now that, and then Humpty says, really, I didn't know that. Thanks, Crypto. I'll keep it in mind. Crypto says, now that was an appropriate response. And then Humpty says, gee, thanks.
Bob, Crypto, Bob, yes. Crypto says, for the record, Linus Maximus, I'm not Kiggy. He says that ages ago, as soon as Linus comes
yeah,
on.
Yeah, hours ago. Yeah, as soon as
okay.
he started
yeah.
talking. He remembered his conversation yes. with Linus, and he was responding to what had yes. happened.
So well, I meant when I responded to Keith AU on alt.slack, I spoke of the advanced yet defective program.
Well, there it is. It's all intertwined. Now, that's an example. And then you do that, and then 5 hours later, Crypto comes on and quotes Kiggy, you know, or refers to him. So inside each
yeah.
other's bullshit, man. Way inside each other's guts. So Crypto
says,
hey, man.
The language.
Right, the language. The horror. And Crypto says, hey, man, don't get all emoticonal now. I guess somebody put a motion on it. So Humpty says, whatever. And then Crypto says, what do you make of this Linus Maximus? Nothing, no response. Then he goes, Crypto says, fine, be that way. In other words, he won't answer. But then Humpty says, I have no idea. I'm of no use to you whatsoever. And then Humpty says, now Humpty is this guy who Neufeld and I figured out, I think it was Neufeld, who is Ort, Pamela, and about five other guys that were on the Bobathon was all this guy in Adelaide, Australia.
Oh, really?
His name is Brad. Yes, okay. He privately confessed to me the other day and showed himself, and I read it all to Neufeld, and he couldn't believe it. He thought,
God.
Neufeld thought he was orchestrating five different personalities and mediating between them, and he finds out, you know, a week later, there was all one guy. That floored Neufeld. So that's who Humpty is. Humpty is this one guy who's pretending he's dumb. Ask someone intelligent who's also American. It's all alien to me, says Humpty. Crypto's getting suckered by Humpty. Crypto, I see your pointless view and raise you one. So Humpty likes that, and he goes, isn't that the point? Crypto has a shocked look. And they go on and on and on. Then I want to get the Linus thing. So Crypto says, Linus is expressing... Now, this is good. Linus is expressing symptoms of chronic quadrophenia, but he spells it quadropenia. But that's right.
That's true.
Linus is a quadrophenic expressionist. Crypto, which is nothing wrong with that. That's being honest. That's admitting what you are made up of. And Crypto,
yeah, I kind of let myself go wildly around the track for learning's sake rather than try to, like, necessarily transcend it to the still center or something.
That's right. You try to be in any environment to your own quadrophenia within the paragraph.
Yeah.
So Crypto says, which is Latin for quadropenia, is for four penis. Number four penis. Four penis. And then Andrew comes in and says, you mean foreskin? Crypto says, I think he's trying to, he's talking. Now, Crypto can't take your rapid talk, it looks like. He goes, Linus is like a little monkey trying to fuck my ear for the last couple of hours.
Yeah, I was kind of going pretty fast.
Yeah. And then Andrew says, like the pre-geek historical look back. So you're a pre-geek historical look back. Crypto says, back when they were called nerds. Andrew says, who wouldn't want infinite intelligence as your comic sidekick? Yeah, that's Ion. Crypto says, intelligence ruined everything. And Andrew says, stop making sense. Crypto says, there's no stopping it. And then Andrew says, politicians all. And Andrew says, too many opinions together, and they stand for hours looking for the wind change to go with their moistened... Okay, some of politicians put too many opinions together, and they stand for hours looking for the wind change to go with their moistened fingers. Mm. With the wind change to go. Crypto says, that's like your opinion, man. And then Crypto says, bullshit is a cycle. Andrew says, the Pope must be made to canonize Mandela. Crypto goes, what a joke. Andrew says, I wonder what dirt is going out now the Mandela fast is on. Wendy says, good night, Bob, Linus, James, and whoever else is still there. Sorry, I can't stay. Thanks for the good conversation.
Good night.
Yeah, and then Humpty says, Humpty is a girl, Bob, silly. Humpty is a girl, Bob, silly. No punctuation. Not sure what that should be. Then he says, you misread my email. Now, that's pretty clever. He fucking predicted that I'd misread it. Now, that's pretty good. Maybe he just posted that right now. What do you think, James? Did anybody else see that?
Well, yeah, there's a dual meaning of that he writes with no punctuation, and you would have misread
your
email.
Do you think he just
email.
Posted that right now? Okay, post that right now, Humpty, yes. To show that it's the next minute later. Then I'll know you just did it, and you saw me coming down the track, and he anticipated it. See, he knew that I would misread it, unless he typed it so fast right after I did. Yep, real time, Larry Lava. It is right now. So Humpty saw me coming, set me up, and then either didn't mean it, but he said, you misread my email. He typed it pretty fast.
We're stitching together a phase space of currency here.
Yes.
now. We have
Canadian
it now.
Talk. It's Canadian talk.
Sure.
So, well, James, now, I invited Linus, and you might be want to be part of this. I invited James on to talk about my Ike Willis dialogue, where I explained Zappa to Ike Willis. James, do explain what I mean in your terms to Linus so that I can stop talking.
So I can stop talking. Well,
cool.
Considering Ike Willis, you know Ike Willis, Linus?
I don't actually know the name.
Oh, you don't? Okay, he's the longest running band member of the many changing bands in Zappa's lineups.
Oh, and, okay, cool. I must have
Zappa
seen him, and if I saw Zappa play Zappa.
Yeah. He's a black guy with sort of...
he wouldn't be in
Afro
Zappa
head.
Play Zappa. He wouldn't be in Zappa.
No.
But he did Thing Fish. He was the black voice in Thing Fish and many, many albums. Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Cool.
Yeah, so, and it seems that Zappa confided to Ike a lot about maybe his personal opinions and just general patterns, so... Ike's fairly clued in on Zappa, you know. He's got a good handle on it. But Bob comes out. I mean, first up, the first sort of main thing was the discussion about AIDS and whether Zappa was given cancer, you know, murdered, or what went on there. And Bob pointed out quite a few good things there, but that's not
that
the point.
That would be 2 years ago, Linus. I did a very good...
Yeah.
5-hour interview with Ike where we converged what he knew from Frank, and he did have exclusive information, and what I knew, we came up with the conclusion that Zappa had found out what caused AIDS from a neighbor scientist, and that's why he eventually was murdered. So Ike is the only guy who could go into it with me. So we did that.
Cool.
That's on the timeline. That's a pretty good interview. Then two years later, is what James just heard. So that's what James is going to explain the second.
Yeah.
Cool.
The second thing, and it's describing just Zappa's conceptual continuity and the way he works as a satellite conductor, or working inside the invisible environment of the global theater, you know, pulling the strings. If you look on the back of his autobiography, there's a picture of him hooked up to a giant TV antenna that's hooked into a big music system, and he's got a metal thing in his head with a globe spinning around. You know, he's like, he wants to be the ultimate satellite conductor. And there's this play that he wanted to do called DFR during the 1990 World Cup. It was Bob, yeah, that was it. And so he was going to be basically a playwright and do this giant performance at the the closing ceremony of the World Cup. So the whole world is watching, and this is, you know, I guess Zappa's grand plan to be a satellite conductor. And Ike didn't know about this at all, did he, Bob? Or if he's gone, Bob might have gone, but Ike didn't know about this.
I'm just on mute. First of all, first question to me was right, and now the second point, yes, Ike did not know about DFR at all. And I'm reading the outline of the thing to him.
Yeah. And so it's this huge... massive production. You can imagine the end of the World Cup soccer and Zappa, you know, writing this huge thing for it, and it's going to include everything. And so you can, during the interview, Ike Willis is like, wow, you know, so he keeps going, oh, wow, and Bob's just telling him, you know, going through his plans for it. But then what's really interesting is you bring out an article that Zappa made to send to press outlets, was it, Bob? It was like a made-up interview between him
and... It's a press outlet for... It's an outlet thing for the press, but it's a dialogue between him and a fictional Warner Brothers executive, because the Warner Brothers are not promoting his stuff in 71.
Mm. Yes.
And that's where he first explains his conceptual continuity to the world through this interview.
Yeah, and so basically, when Ike figures out that Zappa was a conspiracy inside the band, you know, and so it made him just jump right back and go, whoa, let me look at this again. And he realized that he's using all these available visual media, you know, the tactile ESP response from the audience. He's using all perceptual deficiencies, you know, the big note, you know, the basic building block of universal material. He's really playing with the inaudible tactile sense that everyone is sort of binded together by, and it's some of the insights. I mean, Bob goes a lot further, but it's using the plans and non-plans, the content and the tactile of all probabilities and non-probabilities, determined and non-determined, you know, operating from this invisible position. So it's this inclusiveness which Zappa had that really sort of puts him head and shoulders above any other artist. And Ike knew about this,
for
but
sure.
Bob can put together words and make it so. So for me, I learned again all about Zappa, but to hear the longest running band member to start learning about his own band and what they were doing and his own band leader, it was really, really awesome.
Yeah.
And so this is why Bob is so cool, because he operates from an invisible position, including everything.
Yeah.
But he's got it quite neatly laid out with his chart and the holy offices. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the foundationalist setup, but Zappa for me, you know, is the greatest sort of bridge to Bob as a sort of artist, musician, cynic,
and
being
to the
younger.
Church of subgenius, and the Church of subgenius. It's like Zappa.
Exactly.
Yeah, Zappa's a one-man operation. He doesn't have a whole generation helping him or a collective. So he's one guy showing the very things we were trying to describe about the xenarchy you had with Colbert and all that, Linus. Zappa had xenarchy. His wife talks about it. He'd say something at the kitchen table, and it would show up 3 weeks later out there in the news, you know? So any top artist will be tuned in and be mirrored by the Android meme. So Zappa is as a one guy doing it, and that's why he likes the theology of the Church of Genius, is that he's singularly miming what we were talking about for 2 or 3 hours, Linus.
Yeah.
And it comes out. I'm able to explain this to Ike, and Ike is going, wow! It's like his whole world with Frank suddenly made huge new sense because of what I was able to throw together for him.
Yeah, the why.
The why.
Before, it's like a delighted, baffled
feeling,
but like less baffled now, you know?
Yeah, he'd go, now this one was really good for all of us, is that it would prompt Ike to remember things that we did not know, that he'd go, oh, that's why Frank had that catalog there on his desk. That's why he had that. He was starting to remember all these points that we didn't know that supported what I was saying.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing dialogue.
It is pretty amazing.
For the record, you just go to our Achieve Radio endless 144-hour archives at Achieve Radio under my Payday Show, which goes from November 22nd to November 28th. Go to November 25th and click on the 8 p.m. button. November 25th, 8 p.m. is how you hear. It's in that hour that we play this dialogue.
I think it starts 16 minutes in and then carries on for about an hour and a bit.
Goes into the next slot, into 9 p.m.
Yeah,
because I wanted James to talk about it because he and I and Chad have done good dialogues around with Ionic ideas in mind about Zappa. That's somewhere back a couple of years ago. So James is up on it, and he just did a very good job right now of highlighting the words and quoting this and that from Frank to say his point. Mm-hmm. So that's the background line. So what would we say next, James? What is there anything you would say yourself about it?
Well, I just like how all roads lead to Bob, Dobbstown, Iandam, and Carolyn, of course. Who else, you know, there's no one else even close to doing what you guys are doing in naming stuff, you know, showing the patterns, just the basic of most basic understandings, you know, put together, and then going into the mystery landscape. No one is doing it or coming even close.
What I explain, I'm actually the Clement Greenberg or, you know, or Robert Fulford, or art critic, the McLuhan, explaining the art of our time. And I can go in, just like, the, you know, some of these art critics, they must have impressed, Greenberg must have impressed Jackson Pollock and the other guys to be the guru of their scene. Of course, he's not ready for the Andy Warhol scene later, but
yeah.
But anyways, I was in the position of Clement Greenberg talking to an artist, Ike Willis, and explaining what his art was about, you know? And who even knows about it, even to talk about it, even to think about it? Nobody even knows how important it is.
Yeah.
Yes. And see, everyone else comes in from a certain perspective with almost blinkers on, you know, that they're either a musician, an artist, or they've got some position already.
Whereas they're being a critic
to
protect themselves. They're nerds.
Yeah,
they don't like this or that, so they become an art critic to hate right-wingers or something. You know what I mean? They're not comprehensive.
But this whole thing about if you have the power to describe it and name it, you know, it is yours. You create it. You tune it. And that's just it. I mean, it's the key to this whole phase. Naming
right,
it.
Now this dialogue, after we did it, I said, Ike, should we release this? He said, no, this is...
He said,
Bob.
No.
Here's the practical reason. He said, we're trying to do something which I can't talk about. And he says, we shouldn't release this because we'll give away this other thing we're doing. But we're going to do this. He says, Bob, we're going to do DFA. He got a sense of mission that we've got to do DFA somehow.
Yeah.
And so why release this? But I thought I'd embed it in this 144-hour thing.
So,
no one would know.
It's so
and the right people hear it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I could sense in his voice his enthusiasm. He was like, yeah, you know, let's do this. You know, I'd love to do this. Or he sort of renewed enthusiasm about everything.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's cool. I got to hear that. I will.
Yeah, just go to, do you know how to go to achieveradio.com?
Yep.
And go to
November 25th, 8 p.m. to 9 and beyond.
Yeah, 8 p.m. and then 9 p.m. And so it's stuck in there for the elite to find, and I won't tell Ike that I've released it. Now, if some sub-genius was listening right now, he'd be real smart and email Ike and try to expose me, right?
Yeah, get you in trouble.
But it wouldn't get me
trouble.
Seize
your chance to cause trouble for Bob. Be a good sub-genius.
Yes, for your nation, for your nerd nation. Save the nerd nation. Play Bob. Android Meme Slayer. What was that thing? Android Meme Slayer? What did he call
it? Meme Slayer was how I described the joke that that seemed to have been designed to, like, prevent any, like, no, you can't tell yourself that this was some coincidence. Like, this could only be because it couldn't have been accidentally written like this. It was written like this to address that issue. You know?
Right. So, James...
So it was a Meme Slayer. Because all the other coincidences, I was like, yeah, but it could be the meme. I'm not going to sit here and believe that Colbert's fucking talking to me. That's crazy.
So, James, did you hear what we've been doing with Linus, or did you just come in lately?
Yes. Yeah, no, I did. And
you heard that whole rant that he did for 2 hours?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
It was very important.
Yeah, this is me like coming right out with it rather than just
hitting
it on $5.
I know. I saw you on the chat room in the Bob Fest, and I was thinking, oh, here comes Linus. He's warming up. And but have you engaged with Ion? What's your take on Ion?
I like Ion. I gotta say that I often come away from listening to Ion without really being able to say, like, what was it that Ion was saying? I sometimes feel like, I don't know, he wasn't really saying too much or something, or that it's just like, or that it's just kind of a general wisdom that it's not like I want to put it down, but I don't really, like, need it or something in my life.
Yeah,
not that I don't need any wisdom, but that I don't need to
hear
it. Like, it's my own drama between, like, living up to the stuff I already know or not, you know? That, like, I find Ion is, you know, good enough or whatever, but I can't just believe whatever things are being said about, you know, awesome metaphysical stuff.
But,
like, I like taking it in and being open-minded about it, but, so I really dig Bob, and I didn't see Ion being better than Bob, so I'm kind of, like, appreciating the clarification that Ion is more like, I don't know,
Yeah, you've only heard glimpses here and there of the cash flow platitudinous talk. What you got to do is go to 2012, Ginny's site, 2012 RNA drops, whatever it is, and you listen to Ion talking about the cellular structure of things. That's where it gets impressive, which you haven't heard. And I've been posting a lot of our private sessions we did making RNA drops in Coldplay, and that's been blowing everybody away because they get to hear Ion talking technically on scientific levels that, you know, nobody else you hear can do it. So that's what you haven't heard.
At some point in 2009, I talked to you on the phone, Bob, and you told me, in 2010 or early 2011, and you told me about some of the stories that have been going on of just like bizarre happenings and like lawnmowers appearing out of nowhere and stuff. And I liked all that kind of stuff. That all seemed very interesting.
Oh, a lot of stuff. The lawnmower thing is, well, see, there's 9 JWs. And two of them showed up. And one of them burnt down his backyard. And the other guy was in New York. But it's just one ridiculously absurd story. It's regular fare here now. Most people know it.
But I guess for Linus, it has to become practical for you. And in that case, I'd recommend if you can in the future, engage Ion one-on-one, have a private session.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm basically reserving judgment before I've got my own interaction.
Exactly. That's a wise move. But the platitudes obviously don't hit you too well, so you got to make it practical and ask your own questions.
Well, you know, Kenzie and Kenzie's Alliance's partner, they're like homeless street versions of Bob and Connie, and they have this incredible synchrony. It's like, you know, back when there was still a world in the 40s and 50s, you know, when we could be a sane environment. But nobody, Linus knows how everything's disappeared, and he lives it. And but Kenzie, I met her a couple times, and she's so xenocracy clued in, she had a religious experience in Green Bay, Nova Scotia, okay? And Green Bay, Nova Scotia was a very sacred beach that I used to go to in the 50s, 60s in Halifax. And I've got Dobbstown fucking pictures and photographs from there. Not my father. He was never over here in North America. But other things. And it was incredible to meet her. And she was just telling me about this personal experience she had when she was like late teens, early 20s on the road in Green Bay. You couldn't get more close to my reality than do that in Green Bay. And then she's part of this. And so I guess she knows what you said tonight, Linus. She's heard you talk about all this.
Oh,
right?
She witnessed it all.
Yeah.
And like she had heard all that Slack stuff as like an oral history. She never was going on that site herself, but I would read her people's responses and stuff. So she was entertained by the ongoing soap opera of all that stuff. And then like as the Colbert and stuff coincidences were coming in, she was watching.
She's your witness. She's your witness.
If I didn't have her as a witness, I'd be probably a lot more I'd be like nervous or something. I'd be like,
I'd probably be
a lot more anxious to write it down.
Yeah, you'd be like Robert of Tottenham, not able to put a clear paragraph together. Though Robert has improved with the drops. He is remarkably clear.
He has.
But he is a dyslexic writer.
I was reading some of your chat posts during the Bob Fest, Linus, and they were incredibly detailed and well thought out, and it was just getting passed on by.
I don't write like I talk or something. I try to take advantage of the composer aspect of it.
Heavy editing going on.
Yeah, when Linus is, when he posts, what he was saying tonight, it's actually a little whoopy and stretched out. He's more precise when he writes it. And it's actually so precise it's hard to read, hard to understand, but if you read it closely, you've got it all there.
Yeah, it's all there.
I try to make it that it can be worth rereading.
Yeah, you have to reread it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, he's a little more precise than he was tonight on the word level.
Yeah.
But,
I enjoyed his words, his writing words, but thought you could be a little bit more playful and let yourself go a bit. I could sense you editing off, where you go into sort of...
Well, he writes as a scientist. He's writing technically as a scientist, studying quadriphenia.
Yeah, no, that's good, but bring in some aesthetics.
I was also posting a bunch of quotes, like from the Wired McLuhan interview and stuff.
And El Crypto, he doesn't have a fucking clue, and he's sniping away at this guy who's incomprehensible, and he doesn't know that Linus is talking technically, appropriately, in response to Bob Fest.
Well, what a fest that was.
I tried to harmonize.
That was great.
Yes, what a fest. Yeah, that was a 6-day manifesto. I mean, Marinetti gets a page in 1910 in the London Times or something. I got a fucking 6-day manifesto. It didn't stop. We didn't finish. We hadn't made our point after 22 hours, you know?
And it's interesting, the after effects of this invisible environment, you know, the Bob Fest going on, and how the media environments are going to start to respond.
Well, Nelson, they finally said, we've got to kill off Nelson. The Wendy says they tried to kill him off before. Nelson wouldn't go. And so he waited to, as Dave said, he had to have the epitome of black culture.
Yes.
Bob Fest, so then Nelson would feel happy to go. So he died.
Oh, the black
what,
woman.
A week later?
A few days after. But Wendy, I had the same issue. Nelson was dead many times over the 90s.
Wow.
And
I don't remember that myself.
So,
but that's
so
really
Bob
something.
Dylan. Yeah, Bob Dylan was dead, you know, in one world.
What even happened to Robert Anton Wilson? He was told to be dead, and he had to come out and publicly deny it.
Told to be dead.
Told to be dead. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I didn't mean it that way, but that's perfect.
Ion tells Bob, he's got to be dead.
He did tell us that, Linus, in the first few months. As things started to get heavier and heavier and more interesting, he said, well, I think at some point, Bob, you and Carolyn are going to have to release your obituary. You're going to have to go stealth and announce your death. So I haven't done that yet, but he said that might be necessary.
You know, fake your own death?
Yeah, yeah.
What did Ion say when he first came on during the Bob Fest? And I think it might have been the second time, but you were having a dig, and Ion goes, Bob, we can YouTube you right out of here. And it almost, like, smacked you in the hara, and you were quiet for a while. Do you remember that?
He said, I could YouTube you right out of here?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah.
He had that serious tone, you know. And
about Bob, that. We will release the files if you don't fucking calm down.
Yeah. And Bob goes silent. He's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, shit. You're fucking getting sick. Yeah. I do not recall
that. I think you said, fuck, I lost my question, or something like that. You lost your shit. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Listen to this. It's a complicity game. If he did that, I went silent to make it like it was serious. I don't even remember what it was.
Exactly.
I don't know what it was.
You didn't even remember, No, but it was a great play interaction. It was awesome.
It was a part of an act, you know, like, oh, he wants me to be serious. Okay, I'll be quiet as if I'm subdued. But I don't know what he's referring to. You could YouTube me right at
He's got this cartoon voice and speed and, oh my lord, it's
Munchkin
musical
voice.
And he'd do that, he would do that in his, in
he's doing Lumpy Gravy. Doing Lumpy Gravy
he
or
wouldn't do
or
it
something.
The whole session.
Yeah.
It was, Voices Inside the Piano times 10. It was awesome.
Yeah. He was playing, I think it was at you, typed appropriately. The dance of his voice. You made some. You made some statements last week about that.
The musical sense of his voice, the timing, and the time changes, and what he's. It's very impressive.
And he was different. And then you come on and hear what he was saying to me today or yesterday. That's the old Ion. That's a sober Ion. That's not a dancing Ion.
The technical Ion. Yes, exactly. Hey, what did you play earlier on in the show? I missed the first maybe 3 or 4 hours.
It's only been Linus. I haven't played anything yet.
I didn't come on for the first couple hours, though.
Yeah, I missed two hours, maybe.
Yeah, we talked, we had some good talk. I don't know, that's so many hours ago. I don't know who it was, but it was Allison.
You've mastered time. Look at him. You've mastered time. You're like, I know. Yeah, we might have to listen to it right now. Bill?
Yeah, I think it was Allison and Ginny discussing something.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, look, there's somebody. Okay, we got some new words. Okay, we're at this point. You misread. Humpty says you misread my email, and he confirms it. And then Crypto says, come on, you're a dude pretending to be a girl in a chat room. I don't know if that's directed at me. I think it's directed at Humpty. Aye, says Andrew. Humpty laughs. Will you ever know? Will you ever know, says Humpty. Such fun, says Humpty. Crypto, I won't ever care. Then Andrew says, that photo of Zappa on the pot was big in the UK. You know, that's 1968 photo, which I think was taken in Texas someplace by a promoter who he was staying at. You know, promoter put him up, and then Zappa's in the domestic bathroom having a shit, and the guy opens the door and takes a picture of him, and then sells the poster all over the place. Frank gets nothing out of it. That photo of Zappa on the pot was big in the UK. And Crypto says, I'm on the pot right now. Andrew smiles. Then Crypto says, I'm making a table candle. And Andrew says, don't let your wax stick to your wick. Crypto says, I need to get my candle waxed. Andrew says, yep. Andrew says, wax on. Andrew says, I left my decoder ring at home that day. Crypto says, looks like I'll be waxing off tonight. Then Andrew says, Bob, that was a real feat, standing up for 144. Bravo. Crypto says, is that code for something? He says, yep. Then Andrew says to Crypto, thanks for lighting the way. And then Crypto says, I bum for you. No, I burn for you.
That's a bit. That's not innuendo enough. That's too on the nose. I bum for you.
Yeah. And then, you know who the great Gazoo is, James?
Yes.
You know he's a regular. Comes in with one statement, pretty well of show. You know, something way off topic. So he says, hey, Bob, what do you know today? Did I miss any good rants? That's all he says. Did I miss any? No, yes, you did. You missed Linus's rants. And my playing backup. Then Bert, who could come, oh, he's saying he can't make it this week. Bert's in Switzerland. Bob, I enjoyed hearing the Subgenius connection. Thanks for the backfill. It helped. So you helped Bert there, Linus, understand where we came from and what
I. Rock and roll.
Rock and roll. So, what else we got here? On the web, in the panel, what number are you, James? Are you a 661 Skype user?
No, well, I'm a Skype user, that's me.
Yes, you're speaking, I see that. So then, there's nobody here, there's James, and then there's Sarah, who's being very quiet tonight. Sarah out in Ohio, right, Sarah? You're here. At least her phone is here. You're not saying
anything. Her phone is here, that's good enough.
I'm muted, I'm just listening.
There we go.
Okay, well, you're a young person, you're 33. What did you think of that whole Linus thing of Subgenius? What, did you learn anything from it?
Not particularly, but I mean, they are from Cleveland area now, or now they're there, and I don't know. I've known about them for a while. I don't really think I learned anything.
Well, you need to review that. I mean, this explains a lot of what you're trying to paint. We try to paint is what the interplay between me and the Church Subgenius and Linus watching it in Steve Colbert land. That's the intimacy inside each other's digestive system. But I am talking about.
I mean, I recommend seeing Bob interacting with all that Slack, even though sometimes it can be just like it can get really nauseating or something. But like, the Church Subgenius books are a good book. Understanding Bob.
You can go to fivebody.com and go in a few bits, and you'll see 122 threads. All include Chad fighting them, Linus, and other people, and many, many threads about me through the years. It's all gathered under one category. I think it's called the Bob Dean Fest. Bob Dean in quotes. The Bob Dean Fest. Under Five Body, maybe page 2 or 3. Really hilarious threads that go on and on and on. With all those people, they're all gone now. Remember some of those names, Linus? Like, I can't even remember any of them, but there was the guy...
You mean on our side or the people battling?
No, on their side. Some of them weren't popular. Like, there was a guy from Vancouver. I'd have to go back and look at...
Polar Bear?
Mud Mac.
Polar Bear. Polar Bear. Now, Polar Bear was the only guy who would sort of say, wait, I think we should listen to Bob. And the reason he would say that, he was from Toronto, he knew of McLuhan, and what, how he presented himself, he was some kind of stock pattern recognizer, and he used All My Stuff, McLuhan, and all these guys, and he used it to make money. And then, and so he came in, he disappeared for a while, then he came back, and he had one more fight with him, and he got really pissed off. He was trying to say, look, what Bob's talking about is what I use in my business, not the only thing I use. And they all started chiding him because he predicted something about gold, and he said, no, I didn't predict that. And then they got a big fight over his prediction of gold, and then he left. Never seen him since, unless he's over at...
Yeah, well, and then it turned into Joe Cosby pretending that what he, that what Polar Bear was saying was that, like, church, the fascist, whatever.
Right.
You know, like, they'd never allow any... hot discussion of you to take place in any terms other than the extreme character.
Did I ever tell you when I called Joe Cosby? Somehow his number got posted.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember him talking about how not pleased he was with that.
Well, okay, so I call him up and I start talking to him, and he's one of these guys with a depressed